Well, I'm so glad that you all could join us today on Advanced Studio Classroom for our World article. And this is the second day of our two-day article on Migrants Take Risky Trip. And this is a very, you know, all-engulfing kind of issue that's going on around the world. It's affecting all of Europe. It's affecting major portions of the Middle East. And as we've been talking, as we talked about yesterday, Africa. And we see that a lot of things are driving people to leave their country. This article is really focusing on one particular country called Eritrea, which, as we talked about yesterday, borders Sudan and also the Suez Canal. And I have two excellent panelists with me today to discuss this article. I have...
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert.
And Amanda.
And I am Linda, and we're glad that you can join us. If you have your magazine with you, why don't you open it to page 29 so you can follow along a little bit more easily. And if you have your digital device and you have you subscribe to our program, then why don't you open your program to day 17, okay? But yesterday we had a pretty interesting discussion about this topic. Albert, what stood out to you?
Well, we talked about the usage of the terms migrants versus refugees. A migrant is someone that seeks a better life. Usually they go somewhere else to another country for a better job. They choose to leave. And refugees, they're forced to leave because of risk to their health, their lives, their families, and repression. So in the media, as of recent, they've been using it interchangeably, and I feel like maybe it's a little disservice to call refugees migrants. We concluded that we're not too sure why there's this trend. Maybe it's just, like Linda said yesterday, an evolution of language and usage and terms.
That was a guess on my part. Mm-hmm. What about you, Amanda? What stood out to you?
I thought it was very interesting. Before this article, I was not aware that Eritrea had the worst record on press censorship in the world. As you mentioned yesterday, we think of other places before we ever think of Eritrea. So that was news to me. Mm-hmm. Right? And also just to learn about how desperate the Eritreans are that they would risk this trip. You know, they would go through Africa, go up to Libya, and then risk this trip. Very sad, and also just very different, and something new that I hadn't learned before.
It's almost incomprehensible, you know, to us if we haven't experienced something like this. Mm. I think the thing that, you know, really impressed me about the article we talked about yesterday, the first day, is there is a person involved, and she is actually Eritrean, and she is a journalist. She's an Eritrean journalist. And it says that most migrants crossing, you know, they have to go from their country up through Libya, where they become kind of pawns of human traffickers. Mm. And they end up on these unseaworthy boats. And they have her phone number.
Yeah.
She is broadcasting into that country, into Eritrea. It's, as Amanda said, it's very repressed. But there is a radio, it's called Radio Arena, and it broadcasts out of Paris into Eritrea, and they call her. We looked at two different situations where migrants called her all night long as their boat was sinking. Mm. So to me, you know, I think that she's giving them hope, and it makes me think about what we put our hope in. Mm. And they know that she cares about them.
Yes.
And even though she can't really physically reach out and touch them, they know that their story is out there because she's a journalist and she's going to be telling it. Mm-hmm. Well, today we are going to talk about, we're going to continue talking about why people are actually leaving Eritrea. We talked around them leaving yesterday and the migration part of it and what they're going through. But, you know, we know that it's a repressive country, that it's experiencing dire poverty. And that's some of the reasons that people, you know, choose to leave their country. But why are people really leaving this country in particular? So let's read the left-hand column on page 29, the section called Why Are People Leaving?
Why are people leaving? The main reasons Eritreans flee is the country's open-ended national military conscription from the age of 18 until around 50. with the almost entire adult population bound to serve in the military, paid wages much less than the cost of living. There's no freedom. Anything can land you in prison. People are getting more and more desperate, said Estefanos. Everything keeps getting worse. The government has informants everywhere. More and more people, especially young people, are leaving. Everybody who calls me from Eritrea says, what worse could happen? But when they get to Libya, they are confronted with dangers beyond their worst fears. Some call her to tell her they have been kidnapped in Libya by militias and have to pay ransoms to be freed.
So, according to our article here, what is one of the main reasons that Eritreans are fleeing, Amanda?
Well, Eritrea has an open-ended national military conscription. Now, national military conscription is compulsory service in the armed forces, and many countries do have this, perhaps for a time, perhaps for a year or 2 years, but here it's open-ended, and we see that open-ended here means from the ages of 18 until 50.
Usually countries use this in a time of war. I mean, in the Second World War, in the Korean War, in the Vietnam War for the United States, there was a military conscription. Mm-hmm. But it ends at a certain age.
Hmm. I usually associate open-ended with something positive because mm-hmm. there's no limit or boundary, like a mother's love for her child. It's without end or limit. But here it's something really negative mm-hmm. and oppressive. It's you have to serve your country.
Right. And, the entire adult population is bound. Okay. That is a very strong word. It means you have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's much stronger than have to. That's why they're using this word bound.
Required.
Required to. And, it says they get wages. The wages they are paid are much less than the cost of living. So they have all of these people in the military and they can't afford to live or buy food or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I would leave too. Mm-hmm. But then it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say what? There's also no freedom, right, Albert?
Anything that you do can land you in prison. And land you in is to cause someone to be in a difficult situation.
Okay, and being in prison isn't a difficult situation.
Yes.
So we often say, oh, that'll land you in trouble.
Yes.
Okay, if I'm talking to my kids. But, it's very interesting. Estefanos is now talking here, and she says that people are getting more and more desperate, and everything is getting worse and worse. But to me, this is the scary thing. The government has informants everywhere.
Right, and an informant is somebody that gives information to another. So basically there are people here that are looking at what everybody's doing and telling the government what people are up to.
Okay, they're spies.
Yes. Whenever I hear the word informant, I think of like a spy movie exactly, mm-hmm. where, someone's helping someone else to pass information. But this isn't a movie. This is real life. This is happening. It just feels so surreal.
Mm-hmm. I think, this is not the only country in the world that does this. I was just, before we were on the air, I was just saying I was visiting a country, and even in the markets, there were signs tacked up in markets and on the street saying, respect everyone, suspect everyone.
Wow.
With that kind of thought, who can you trust? You don't even know if you can trust your
neighbor.
Your neighbor or even your aunt, your uncle, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the government has informants everywhere, they're in good standing with the government, okay? And they're just, you're right, they're just like looking for things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be so careful. And it says here that especially young people are living. Mm-hmm. Everybody who calls Estefanos from Eritrea says, what worse could happen? That would be a terrible way to live.
Right. So it's already bad. The situation is bad. And so the only way to reach freedom is to leave the place. That's very sad.
But through a risky journey.
Right.
Well, they think that, let's see, what does it say? What happens to them when they get to Libya? You think things are going to get better, but they are not getting better.
No, I mean, they're confronted with dangers that they couldn't imagine, and it's just beyond their worst fears.
And I think you think of people that are already living in fear of their lives, and they go to some place where they hope will be the beginning of something good happening to them, and they face something even worse beyond the fear. When you're facing a fear that you're already in, you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to some place like this, you don't know the country, don't know the language, and you're facing something. If something is beyond your worst fear, it's unimaginable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in Libya, they're being kidnapped by militias. Militias is like ordinary people, but they're trained to fight. And then for here, they're servicing something evil. So they're kidnapping these people and they're ransoming, saying, hey, you know, they're contacting friends and family like, hey, if you want to see this person again, pay up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or they're taking all their money from them and saying you have to pay to get free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we learned yesterday that because of the collapse of government in Libya, that smugglers and human traffickers are able to operate with impunity without any kind of punishment. So that's unfortunately what they're doing. They're kidnapping these people and probably robbing them of the things that they have, and then threatening to kill them unless they get more money from their families.
We're looking at lawlessness, really. That's really what is going on here. It's just lawlessness.
Just evil begets more evil.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're going to a place where you think that it's going to be helpful, you know, where you have access to more freedom, and you come up against something like this. And we're going to look now at some traumatic experiences now. So let's take a look at the next section.
Traumatic experiences. These people, they keep my number, just for the worst case, when their boat is sinking or they're about to be kidnapped. They call and ask for help. And if their boat is going down, I get their location, and I notify the Italians, Estefanos said. It's very traumatic. You don't get used to it. It's disturbing, and you feel very sorry for them.
So if something is traumatic, let's take a look at this word. What does this mean?
It's a very disturbing, very serious situation.
Okay.
It makes an impression on you physically and mentally.
Right. And we have trauma rooms in hospitals.
Exactly.
You know, like for your body, if it's injured, especially severely injured, that's experiencing trauma.
Right. Trauma is, for example, either a situation where the mentally or physically a person can go into shock.
Right. Well, they are going into shock here for sure. Because you go to a place that you think is going to be helping you and the opposite happens. And why do they keep her number? I just think this is so fascinating that they all have Estefanos' phone number.
It's like she's the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm.
She's their 911.
Mm-hmm. And they keep it for the worst case. This is what I find so... This is tragedy when their boat is sinking or they're about to be kidnapped. And they know it.
And it must be such a sad experience for her whenever her phone rings. She's expecting the worst of the worst.
Right. Notice what she said. Well, I think it's kind of interesting here that she also is their last call for hope. Because if their boat is going down, she can get the location and because of GPS on it, right? And she can notify the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully their Coast Guard is close enough to rescue them.
And the Italian Coast Guard is probably one of the most active in the Mediterranean Sea with regard to this situation. Whenever you see anything, it's usually the Italian.
The Italian Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I think it's also fascinating. Have you heard of this family that has this rescue ship? I mean, it's a ship. They're using their fortune to pick up sinking ships, people from sinking ships, and giving medical aid and taking care of them to get them to port.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear about that.
And the ship is not small. It's a big, big ship, you know, like a commercial-sized ship.
Yes, that's so refreshing to hear that even in times of crisis, people are standing up and saying, no, we won't let this continue.
Right, and we're going to help and do what we can.
Yeah.
But for Estefano, she notifies the Italians, and hopefully the Italian Coast Guard or somebody can get there to help them. And you know, I think this is true. You don't get used to it. You don't get used to somebody calling you and saying, I'm drowning.
Mm.
And, of course, she says it's disturbing and you feel very sorry for them. And these are her people as well, her countrymen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In my lifetime, we have not experienced something like this.
No.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, it's just to move, to leave your home is just, for me, I can't think of a reason to.
Well, we have a choice to leave. They're at the point in their lives where they don't feel like they have a choice.
Right.
Yeah, we don't come from repressed countries. You know, we have a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be very thankful for that.
Yes.
You know, I don't think we have any. It's such a hard concept, you know. Mm. Well, let's see. Let's look at our last section here called Who Will Come to the Rescue?
Who will come to the rescue? Italy's authorities continue to rescue migrants, but other European nations have held back to avoid encouraging migrants, a policy that advocates say has not led to fewer refugees, but has seen thousands of people die needlessly. It's inhuman. They think rescuing people will encourage more refugees to come. But it didn't. They stopped the rescues, and more people still came. The smugglers always find a way, Estefanos said.
So we were talking about Estefanos when she gets these calls. She tries to call the Italians. Well, she doesn't try to. She notifies the Italians, and they do rescue migrants, it says here.
Yes, it does. They continue to rescue migrants, but unfortunately other European nations have held back to avoid encouraging migrants. Now, when we say held back, it means that they're reluctant to get involved in the situation.
I think we see that not only with this country, but other European countries as well. Well, the world, actually, with the migrant crisis that's going on. I mean, now I'm broadening outside of Eritrea here, mm-hmm. but with the hundreds of thousands of migrants like fleeing into Europe, countries are like, you know, we can't, and they, I don't think they can. Some countries cannot handle it because the number is overwhelming. But, you know, you think, are you holding back because they think that it's, I don't know, would you let somebody drown because you don't want to encourage people to come behind them to try?
No.
That's a tough call. I mean, no, definitely not. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling where the advocates are saying, I mean, not the advocates, but like European nations are saying, don't do this. Don't save these people. But it's not like by avoiding this, they're still going to leave their homes. Their countries are still oppressing them. So mm-hmm. they're still going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or starve to death.
Yeah.
Right.
So they say that a policy that advocates say has not led to fewer refugees, but has seen thousands of people die needlessly.
Right. And it hasn't stopped people continuing to try to cross the Mediterranean.
And they know it's dangerous.
They do.
Because these are relatives coming behind relatives, and still the hope is still there that I'll make it.
And so the hope of actually getting to Europe is stronger than trying to reconstruct their own countries.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you live in a repressive, when they're living in a repressive country here, or even going to Libya, another country that is like, you know, lawless,
yes.
there's nothing you can do really. The forces, there are too many, you know, lawless forces against you where you can't really do what you hope to do.
Right. And so some people feel that the other European nations that are holding back, they feel that then you're seeing thousands of people die needlessly. And we see that's one of our vocabulary focus words, which means it was not necessary for them to die. There is a way that's able to stop people from drowning.
Right. And she goes on to say that it's inhuman. So that means that, you know, we hear this word, it means it's really very cruel and that we would never treat a human in that way. It's frightening, it's cruel, it's very unusual punishment. And some people think that rescuing people will encourage more refugees to come. I don't know. I don't think it would encourage people to come. I think that people, you know, when you're desperate enough, you'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're fleeing for their lives.
Well, I think it's interesting. We see earlier that the Eritreans that are leaving their country are the young people. Mm-hmm. So the older people, you know, perhaps because they have their roots there, it's maybe they feel it's more difficult for them to establish themselves in a different country. They're not leaving,
right?
You know, so it's not like they're going to follow necessarily afterwards, but it's the young people, and usually young people are looking for hope, for jobs, and a better future.
I mean, it could also be that the young people see how it is for the old people, and then at one point they say, enough is enough,
mm-hmm.
and we need to leave. I mean, they're repressed to the point it's so extreme that the alternative is a risky journey where their lives are at stake. It's mm-hmm. at risk, and they're choosing that. They're choosing to go still. They don't want to live the day-to-day suffocation.
Right. And you know that if the people coming behind know that people are drowning, they also know, or at least they're beginning to know, what they're going to be confronting when they hit Libya.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they know the dangers and the risks involved going there as well. But she said that it didn't. They stopped the rescues and more people still came. I just think it's interesting. The smugglers always find a way. They want money, so they're going
to
get the people on the boats and they're going to push them across the sea. So for them, human lives are nothing as well. So, you know, we're facing, or these people are facing, really a twofold risk, and there are no choices. There are no good choices here. You know, either you stay and be killed or you flee and be killed.
Right.
And that's what it's looking like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also have some little bits and pieces on these couple of pages. So let's take a look at a couple of them. Way over on page 28, there's a quote here from Estefanos that says, they have a national service. We call it national slavery. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
When everyone is living on a national service wage, I think that's for the military conscription,
mm-hmm.
of $10 or $12 a month and your rent is $50, how can you live? People are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So this will give us a little bit of indication about what people really are facing.
Right, and I think that's, you know, often that's a strategy that a government uses to control its people,
mm-hmm.
give them less money, but then make their overheads, for example, the rent here, a lot higher, so they can never reach it, and they're under the control of the authorities.
So,
and that's just rent.
I know, they're locked in more ways than one, by law, by debt, by being controlled by money, they can't escape, they don't have any extra funding
right.
to leave.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say about harm's way?
It says, Eritrea, a small secretive country, has one of the worst human rights records in Africa. Somalia is wrecked by fighting, terrorist attacks, and dire insecurity. Syria, of course, has been wrecked by civil war and incursions by the extremist Islamic State group, driving more than 3 million people into exile.
So we're looking, you can see the numbers here, 3 million people going into exile from just that one country.
Right.
And then we have, they're now just giving us an overview of some of the countries in Africa and what's happening there. So we knew about Somalia from years gone by, and now we have ISIS and we have Eritrea. Okay. Let's take a look at the graph at the top, or I guess it's a map at the top of the page, and it says Mediterranean migrants. It'll hopefully give us a better picture of what's really going on. And I think these numbers have increased already, right?
They have, yes.
By the day.
If you we see that this map has been is according to the International Organization for Migration. And when I took a look at it, the numbers had already increased beyond what we see here, the migrant fatalities in 2015. So we see that it is definitely going beyond that of 2014.
The numbers are staggering, actually. And then they give a breakdown over just right on the right-hand side of it. It says that the number of migrants who illegally entered the European Union from January to July of 2015, and there are two different routes, but it gives you the countries and the people coming in. So we have the Eastern Mediterranean route, and what does it say there?
At least 132,000 people are crossing by using that route, and the central Mediterranean route is at least 91,000.
Right.
And then we have the top countries where the people are, it's like a breakdown of where the countries they're coming from.
Right, and we see from the eastern Mediterranean route, that's through Turkey, okay, and Greece, that area. It's Syria, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, though that region, not Syria, but Afghanistan and Pakistan, we still hear about it in the news, but it's not so in the forefront, but still look at the numbers that are coming. Mm-hmm. And then the central Mediterranean route coming from northern Africa. And we see the numbers here. And Nigeria as well. There's a lot of repression in this area.
Right.
Well, we really wanted to give you some overview of some of the vocabulary that's used so that maybe you feel more confident when you come across articles like this, and to bring it out to everybody's minds that we really, that there's really an international crisis going on for humans, for human migration, human refugees around the world. And we want to thank you. We're out of time for today. We hope you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom, and we need to say bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.